for anybody that rides an Uber or a Lyft, this next story is big.
This is the interview of the day. This is big.
Yeah, we've been waiting for something like this. Lawmakers in New York want to give Uber and Lyft drivers and other gig workers the right to unionize. That would be a big issue for the cost structure of these gig companies. Bloomberg Law's Chris Opford joins us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio to talk about this. So, Chris, the whole concept of the gig economy is I really don't have to pay that much to these people. They're just kind of free time driving me around. This could be big if they, A, have to be employees, and B, could unionize.
Absolutely. Bloomberg Intelligence has done some analysis about the labor costs for both of those companies if they had to switch them from independent contractors to employees and then start paying minimum wages, overtime, perhaps bargain with a union. And they said that the labor costs for each company could jump by as much as 20%.
So what is New York, the state of New York, proposing now?
So a pair of lawmakers, when the legislature comes back in January, is going to introduce an expansive bill that's largely based on what was done in California recently. And it would make it a lot harder for businesses like Uber and Lyft, but also more traditional companies, to keep classifying workers as contractors rather than employees. It goes a step farther than the California law because they also want to write into that the right for gig workers to organize. And that's it faces a lot of federal hurdles under federal antitrust and federal labor law, and it's something that folks have not really explored in the past. So a lot of attention being paid to it.
Yeah, you mentioned California. We've noticed, you know, they are kind of moving along those lines as well. But how do you differentiate between a contractor and an employee? What is there some like line in the sand?
That's part of the problem, I think, on both sides, is that the test varies widely. It depends what state you're in and what law you're talking about. What California has done is a three-part test that focuses a lot on control, how much control Uber, for example, has over the drivers, but also what the drivers are doing and whether that's an essential part of the business.
It's a Paul's good question, and I cannot recall when this hasn't been a huge issue, independent contractors. Right. The line in the sand, is the line in the sand moving for the companies?
Absolutely moving. I mean, with the California law, with what's happening in New York, we had a story a couple weeks ago about New Jersey going after Uber for $600 million in unpaid employment taxes. There's definitely a shift, particularly in blue states.
So when you combine this with Bloomberg Law, how does this get tested within the court system?
It's interesting because the drivers are treated as independent contractors, they're basically self-employed entrepreneurs. And if those self-employed entrepreneurs get together to collectively bargain, that's considered a form of price fixing under antitrust law.
I know that, but I cannot remember when this has been an issue in any number of industries as well. Right. You're stating as a wonderful expert that the line in the sand has moved.
Absolutely.
That will be legally tested, right?
Yeah. So
where is it tested? At the state level? Does it go to the Supreme Court?
It'll go to the federal courts first. They'll sue in New York as soon as the law gets signed in. Somebody like a Chamber of Commerce or, you know, an Uber or a Lyft or all of the above will sue there.
I mean, I don't want to pin you down, but is this Supreme Court worthy?
Potentially. I mean, usually questions like that, they wait for a couple of different rulings to come out. And because the courts haven't really touched this, there's a law in Seattle that's a little bit different, but tried to do the same thing that'll probably bounce back up to the Ninth Circuit eventually. And so, you know, perhaps if you get a California court weighing in, a New York court weighing in, and a few others, I could see it going to the Supreme Court eventually.
See, Chris, Tom is not really familiar with this whole Uber Lyft thing. He's got the surveillance Bentley. But the rest of us, you know, when I get an Uber or Lyft, every time the car pulls up, each driver seems to have a Uber sign and a Lyft sign. So they're not really employees of either. They're just kind of freelancers. It seems to me if I were Uber or Lyft, I would say, hey, these guys can go anywhere.
Yeah, and they will say that, and they'll continue to stress the flexibility that comes with these jobs. Uber will say, we don't tell people when to drive or where to drive. A lot of the workers, I think Lyft said something like 90% of their drivers are just moonlighting, doing less than, you know, 10, 15 hours a week.
This is fascinating, because Tom, this goes to the absolute cost structure for these companies. The reason that these business models exist is because of the flexible cost structure there. And so if that is put at risk, then these stocks, I was just looking at these stocks this morning, they're both down about 35% from their IPO prices.
So they're getting crushed in the market. To both of you, has it been a good year for these companies in terms of our addiction to them? Are there more unit rides this year?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I would say there's probably less.
Surveillance Tuesday. You're allowed to not know the answer.
Potentially less in New York City, though, because there have been limits on how many drivers can be operating at one time.
I had to take the Bentley was in the shop. I had to take a Lyft the other day, and the guy said, "Do you drive for Uber?" And he goes, "No, I don't drive for Uber." And he was saying he may not even apply for like the very few, if not one, license that will be available. Yeah.
Well, I think the equation is tough for the drivers. If you're on the worker advocate side, when you're talking about the cost per ride plus gas and maintenance on your car and all those things, you don't get workers' comp if you get injured. You don't have unemployment insurance.
There's no question about that. But again, it comes down to the percentage of the labor pool that's part-time.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Opfer, thanks so much for joining us. Chris Opfer, Bloomberg Law, joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. Killer issue for these gig economy companies. Are your workers contractors or are they employees? A big, big issue for the cost structure. This is Bloomberg.